This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Donald Trump's status as the likely Republican nominee for president has some leaders of that party openly worried about the general election in the fall. They're not only concerned about electing a Democratic president, but also a larger wave that leads to Democrats being elected in races for Congress and the state legislature in districts where Republicans would otherwise likely win. If you're wondering if there's going to be such a Trump effect in Michigan and how big it will be, Gongwer News Service editor Zach Gorchow says you might find clues in Southwest Michigan. In a recent blog post, Gorchow writes that the 61st State House District, which includes Portage, may be, in the words of the headline, the bellwether of how much damage Trump does to the Michigan GOP. Zach Gorchow, thank you for being with us again.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start off with the big statewide picture here. How concerned are Republicans that you talked to in Lansing about Donald Trump at the top of the ticket running for president?
I mean, there's definitely a lot of worry. You know, it's hard to say whether the Republican base will come out the way they should. And if they don't, that's obviously going to filter down the ticket and have some real negative impact for them. What if Hillary Clinton, the presumptive Democratic nominee, blows Donald Trump away on the order of what Barack Obama did to John McCain 8 years ago with a high 50% type vote for Hillary Clinton and a low 40s for Donald Trump? I mean, that was a Democratic tsunami in the state that year, and that is definitely a concern. I think it's not panic at this point. I mean, I think they still feel pretty confident about their candidates for Congress, that those folks are not going to get pulled under, at least not as of yet. But there's a lot of worry about the Michigan House and those races.
Well, I'm going to jump to the last line of your blog post. Spoiler alert here, we're going to the end. But I think it does set up the conversation very nicely, where you say, if the Democratic dream of Mr. Trump taking the Republican ticket down in flames with him is to become reality, then logically smoke will be visible November 8th from the communities of Portage and Oshtemo, Prairie Ronde, Schoolcraft, and Texas Townships that make up the 61st District. And this is where Republican Brant Eyden is running for re-election for another two-year term in the House. What makes this district in particular so interesting to look at in terms of what we might call the Trump effect?
Well, the biggest thing is that Brant Eyden has endorsed Donald Trump, and not only has he endorsed him, he ran for and was successfully elected a delegate to the Republican National Convention for Mr. Trump. So that clearly aligns him with Donald Trump. You know, you're going to see Democrats across the state in these competitive races, in many cases, aligning and tying the Republican candidates for the Michigan House to every wild and crazy thing that's come out of Donald Trump's mouth. You know, for some of them, they might be able to say, well, I am not a big fan of his, and they'll try to take steps to distance themselves. But for Representative Eyden, that's going to be impossible. I mean, he's endorsed him. He's a delegate for him. He's definitely bound up with him, for better or for worse. The other reason I think it's the bellwether is really this district is not considered what I would consider a prime competitive district. There's no history of a Democrat winning it. It is certainly over the years seen the Democratic base grow, and it is getting now to the point where it is more competitive. You saw a huge Democratic commitment to it in 2014 that really failed quite spectacularly. They spent a ton of money on it when there was no incumbent running, and their candidate, John Fisher, only won 42% of the vote. Brant Eyden ended up winning the race with 48%. That's a very poor result for the investment the Democrats put into it. So going into this term with Brant Eyden as an incumbent, so many other opportunities for Democrats to pick up seats, it's not a race that really should be in play, even though the presidential year will bump up Democratic turnout. Certainly shouldn't be a top-tier race. But this affords the opportunity for the Democrats to really work the Trump factor against Brant Eyden. And, John Fisher's the candidate again. I don't think anybody would consider him an all-star candidate. If John Fisher wins and Brant Eyden loses, you're going to be hard-pressed to come up with a reason other than Donald Trump.
And is this different for other candidates who might publicly announce that they're backing Trump, or at least say they're going to vote for him, if they have, say, backed another candidate in the Republican primary, back in March when it was held in Michigan, or maybe stayed out of the endorsement game altogether. So even if they say, yes, I'm voting for Donald Trump, there's still some distance because, look, I'm a Republican, he's a Republican, I'm going to vote for him. It's not the same thing as being a pledged delegate.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely degrees of magnitude here, and Brian Hyden is at probably the maximum degree of magnitude in supporting Donald Trump. I suppose if Trump says something that Brian Hyden feels is not something he can be aligned with, he can go to great lengths to distance himself from that. But it's going to be tough. Other Republicans, especially if they have not endorsed Trump. And have basically said things like, well, I'm going to support the Republican ticket. There's a little more wiggle room there for them to deplore something that Trump says and say, well, I don't support that. But the issues that are important to me, I've got to support Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. I mean, I think that's a more sustainable position than, you're a delegate for Donald Trump who endorsed him early on. That's going to be hard to put distance between you and him.
You wrote recently about the narrow path that Democrats have in an effort to win control of the state house this fall, even with Donald Trump at the top of the ticket. And as you go through the races that you say Democrats might have a chance to pick up seats, you mentioned the 62nd district over in Battle Creek is one the Democrats are really counting on. The other toss-up districts, the 61st, doesn't even make that list of possible pickups for the Democrats. So if we start seeing signs that the 61st district is in play and that both sides are putting a lot of resources in there because they think it's competitive, does that indicate that the Democrats' chances of winning the state house have improved?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel pretty confident. I would be very surprised if the Democrats do win the 61st district. I would be pretty shocked if they did not end up with a majority. I mean, that would say to me that they're winning everywhere. Remember, this is a seat, again, it has never been won by the Democrats. There's a whole slew of seats out there that tend to flip back and forth between the parties. So if they win the 61st district, I got to think they're winning just about everywhere.
Is one of the other factors here that Donald Trump, at least by what we see from the results of the March primary, maybe doesn't have quite the same pull here in Kalamazoo County as he does in other parts of the state? There were three counties where Trump finished third, and Kalamazoo is one of them. And this was also one of two counties that John Kasich won. Does that indicate that perhaps it would be easier to tie a candidate to Donald Trump and have that stick and have that candidate be harmed by it?
Yeah, this really interested me. I knew that Kasich had won Kalamazoo County, but I was curious to see what happened within the confines of the 61st district, since that's what's relevant for that race. And sure enough, John Kasich carried that district with about 31% of the vote. Ted Cruz was second, and Donald Trump was third at 25%. That's not terrible by any means, but, there are some places in the state where Donald Trump was winning like 50% of the vote. Donald Trump in Macomb County is less of a liability, I think, that where he got 50% of the vote than in this district where he was down at 25% of the Republican vote. I don't know exactly, I can't get into the heads of Republican voters down there, but it cannot be helpful to Brian Hyden that 75% of the Republican vote down there went to other candidates. It suggests possibly that there would be more Republicans there that are disillusioned with Donald Trump as their nominee than in other places. Do those people decide not to show up to vote? That would cost Brian Hyden, obviously. Maybe they show up to vote, don't vote for Donald Trump, and vote Republican the rest of the way. Then in that case, Brian Hyden's okay. It certainly, to me, was an additional piece of evidence that this is a really interesting bellwether race on the Trump factor.
You also noted in your piece that this is a state house district that President Obama actually carried in both 08 and 12, and yet the Republican candidates for state house were able to outperform the top of the ticket and able to win their races. Is the concern perhaps amongst Republicans that it's going to be more of a drag with Donald Trump at the top of the ticket, and it may be something that Republicans have more trouble escaping?
Yeah, I mean, Margaret O'Brien ran 10 points ahead of Mitt Romney in 2012. You know, the race was essentially a tie between Romney and Obama in the 61st district. You know, Obama won by about one percentage point. It was like 49% to 48% in favor of Barack Obama. So that's basically a tie. You know, not ideal for Margaret O'Brien to have that, but that's where you see her own personal popularity and success as an officeholder came through, because she ran 10 points ahead of the Republican presidential candidate. So I think what would concern me if I were a Republican is, what if Hillary Clinton beats Donald Trump by anywhere from 5 to 8 percentage points in this district? I mean, that would be quite a development, and that would definitely give someone like John Fisher some wind at his back and possibly cost Brant Eyden very dearly.
You have written before, and you allude to in this particular post, the 1998 race for governor in Michigan and the possible parallels there. Let's go back and explain, first of all, what was going on in Michigan in 1998.
So you had Jeffrey Figer was the Democratic nominee for governor against John Engler, the incumbent, going for a third term. Figer, very similar to Trump in the sense that he sort of had this hostile takeover of his own party. He won his party's nomination against the wishes of the Democratic establishment, who had lined up behind another candidate, and did it in a way where he was saying outrageous things, sort of take no prisoners. He was constantly talking about how the current chair of the Michigan Democratic Party should be fired. I mean, he was leaving blood all over the floor. Once he was nominated, the things he would say about John Engler and John Engler's kids and John Engler's family tree, it was just unbelievable. I mean, it was very reminiscent of the stuff that's coming out of Donald Trump's mouth.
Are there some parallels in terms of maybe lessons that Republicans can learn? The Democrats did suffer quite a few losses that year. But as you say, there were some Democrats who, despite that tsunami, were able to hold on and win competitive races. Is there anything that a Republican might look at from that year and say, okay, if there is going to be a Trump effect, here's how I don't get caught up in it?
Well, distance clearly is a big thing. So this was not a legislative race, but let's remember the attorney general race that year. Who was the Democratic attorney general candidate that year? Jennifer Granholm was up against a Republican named John Smetanka, who used to be the U.S. attorney in Western Michigan. And, there were a number of reasons why Jennifer Granholm was able to buck the Engler landslide, but a very big one was she really put some distance between herself and Jeffrey Figer. I mean, she was sharply critical of his proposals. I mean, it was almost like, in some ways, Figer was running against Granholm and Engler, that she was so critical of him. So she, in a very visible way, distanced herself. And as I say, there were other factors that produced her win, but that certainly helped. You've got to have a reservoir of goodwill locally. I mean, Doug Spade, who was the candidate I mentioned in a Lenawee County House seat, he was a Democrat. John Engler wins that area basically by like a 60 to 36% margin. It was a blowout, but Doug Spade wins that race, runs, I think, 14 points ahead of Jeff Figer in his district. How did he do it? Well, he was really well known. He had been a popular radio host for a long time. He had come close to actually winning the seat 2 years before against an incumbent. He was going to be, I believe, it was either the first or first in decades legislator who was blind. So he had a really unique story to tell and ran as an independent. I mean, if you looked at Doug Spade's positions on the issues, you might think he was a Republican. So there was sort of an own, personal identity and brand combined with, an issue position that helped these candidates buck the tsunami.
Would we be having a very different conversation right now if it was a more conventional Republican candidate, even if said candidate was not expected to necessarily win Michigan in November or be especially competitive? Would it be a different conversation that we'd be having about the races down the ballot when you get down to things like state house?
Yeah, I mean, if you had a conventional Republican candidate, it would still, the odds would still be in favor of a Democrat winning the state. But there would be a sense that, you were going to get at least the Republican base out there. You'd get probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 45% of the vote statewide. And, you have to remember, in these swing districts, the Republicans, run really well, much better than 45%, usually, close to 50. A Republican candidate who does that, basically these House candidates then can sink or swim on their own. They're not going to get pulled under. the wonder with this is, you know, Donald Trump is running so poorly in the polls right now. If he ends up dropping down in the, you know, low 40s or something in that range, that's the kind of dynamic then you're going to start seeing potentially the Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton winning these swing districts by enough of a margin to start putting some wind behind these Democratic candidates. That is what's changing things here, is the possibility of a blowout. Whereas I think if you had, you know, more of a conventional Republican candidate, we'd probably be talking about, you know, a closer race coming off of two terms of a Democrat in the White House, Hillary Clinton's high unfavorable ratings. You know, I don't think, you know, anyone would be thinking it would be a runaway. I mean, anything's possible, but it would have been seen as, you know, maybe more like 2004, where, you know, George W. Bush, you know, only lost the state to John Kerry by 4 points. You know, it might have been more of a dynamic like that than, you know, anywhere from a, you know, a 10 or more point blowout.
But as you did say there, anything is possible. And your colleague at Gongwer, John Lindstrom, just had a post the other day saying that there are some Democrats that have their own concerns about this race. Could we be having a very different conversation in the fall about how Donald Trump has turned out to be a different candidate than people imagined when he ultimately won the Republican nomination?
Yeah, this is a great point. So let's look at evidence to the contrary of what we've been talking about. Donald Trump probably will run well in northern Michigan, so north of Clare. There are a number of competitive House seats up there where right now you'd have to guess Hillary Clinton, all things being equal, will not run very well. And for the Democrats to actually win control of the House, they've got to win some of these northern Michigan seats. They have just gotten their lunch handed to them in northern Michigan for the last several cycles. They got to do better there. Donald Trump could help there. Donald Trump, with his emphasis on trade and his brash style, could play well in Macomb County. And there are two critical House seats in Macomb County. Again, that could be a key, you know, a key spot. You know, if the Republicans hang on to those Macomb seats and those northern Michigan seats, they're going to keep control of the House. Democrats may gain seats. They may gain several seats, but they got to get 9 to get outright control. That's a lot of seats. You can write a path pretty clearly for them to get anywhere from 4 to 6 seats more than they have now. But to get to 9, they got to win some of these coin flip seats in Macomb, northern Michigan. Those are the kinds of things where I look, well, maybe Donald Trump actually runs better than expected and gives some Republican candidates some help. That's what I would be watching for.
Zach Gorchow, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Zach Gorchow is the editor of the Gongwer News Service. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.